Hello, Soul Family, and welcome to the Soul Goddess Podcast. My name is Aishwarya. I am a mystic, healer, coach, and music artist. We are walking into a pivotal golden age on Earth, and it's time to cultivate the art and science of elevating your consciousness to extraordinary levels. Imagine having the most profound relationships, tapping into your divine guidance, embracing your true soul design, and unlocking supernatural abundance through your innate gifts. Those are the conversations we will be having twice a week, every Wednesday and Thursday, and we will have episodes that will nourish your spirit and expand your horizons. Don't forget to subscribe and become a part of our ever-growing soul family, and expect to meet incredible guests who will bring their unique wisdom and experiences to the table. And on other episodes, it will just be me and you. Remember, you're more than a listener to me. You are family. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Soul Goddess Podcast. Today, I have a really special guest, Colin Gerdeke, who is an illuminator who uses and alchemizes the poetic arts to help people open, enliven, and expand their hearts, minds, and spirits. A multi-versed poet and poetorialist, he guides the poetosphere, an oasis of regenesis for seekers of greater aliveness and possibility. He is the host and voice of the live weekly Floating Poetry broadcast, series of evocative and contemplative cultural commentary, poetry, shared inquiry, and discovery. He also serves as Poet Laureate of the Truth Foundation of the United States since 2017, where he's been a lead cultural contributor to the International Olympic Games and the America's Cup. Among his daily touchstones are the words of Ralph Waldo Emerson: live in the sunshine, swim in the sea, drink the wild air. And those of poet Mary Oliver from the end of her poem, The Summer Day. Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Living in vibrant and soulful daily conversation with life, self, and the living world, and encountering others and encouraging others to live there is why he is here. Colin, welcome.
Thank you, Aishwarya. That's lovely. Thank you for that good introduction. And it's true. It is why I'm here. That's why I'm here today. That's why I'm here every day. If nothing else, to be a beacon just by being as you are, right, in your soulful way as you move through the world. Yes, you're putting things out, but I think it's even more powerful just at times to just be that presence of that kind. People can feel it like osmosis. They take it in another way, yeah, energetically.
Yes, and I think we're so on the same page with that, because everything with being is like you can just walk into a room and just be, and you can change the energy of the whole room without even saying a word.
Yes, yes. And so I think, you know, not only making magic of whatever kind for ourselves, but obviously we're both in different ways in service to others. Mm. And so obviously how to bring our gifts to the table of life that help inspire other people to those places. Mm. And that's been, I would say, definitely the life work now, these last years, putting together the poetosphere, this oasis that you were just speaking of, that is for those seekers at all times in the world. I would say there's always a hunger for certain deeper, fuller, more beautiful beingness and engagement with self and life in the world. Mm. And in these times that we're in, I think there's an extreme need for this. So it's, you know, I've been working on it for a few years to bring it forth. And fortunately, we're here at a time where the world couldn't need it more, as far as I'm concerned. Mm. you know, coming to far more sentience as a being, as opposed to losing it, because it's diminished quite a bit. I mean, largely, not everywhere, obviously. So we want to rekindle that, right? That sentience in people, that soulfulness, that embodiment of all these things. Because I have some thoughts about, you know, leading us into living poetically is what are people longing for and yearning for right now? If you had to draw a line through a through line of what it is for most people, and I would, as I thought about this before, but also for our conversation, when we see how disembodied people are, lost in virtual instead of actual reality, when we're focused on artificial intelligence instead of natural intelligence, or NI, I would call that NI as opposed to AI. When we see how disengaged so many are from more deeply relating with each other and with their greater humanity. And then when we see how disconnected they are from nature, outer nature, and in their inner nature. So it's no surprise to me that people are undernourished in heart, mind, and spirit, that in their senses, they're seeking real nourishment, not empty calories of living. And for their inner lives, their outer lives, I know they are, because of my experiences in the world, and also through the poetry, the people who are coming into it are saying, oh, you know, like one person just broke down crying and said, I'm just surrounded by beauty here, and I'm surrounded by peacefulness here, or I kind of can breathe into other parts of myself here. I'm inspired to realize there's more for me every day than I realized. These are touchstones, right, that are meant to be there. It's not a destination. It's a leaping off point. It's sort of just an encouraging place.
Yeah. I mean, I love the quote that you took, like Mary Oliver, the summer day, tell me what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life. And just, you know, backing up a little bit, because I know people, what you talk a lot about, which you are talking right now about living poetically. And I know people might think they can't have access to that because maybe they have just heard the word poet in there and they're like, oh, well, I don't have that capacity to, you know, live in that way. I'm not an artist. I'm not a creative. I'm not a poet. Like I am. I'm just saying that, you know, whoever might be listening might think, well, how do I access, you know? So first of all, like, what does it mean to you to just live poetically?
Yes, I'm definitely want to talk about that, especially as we come and talk as we talk about creativity. So let's put it this way. So the poetosphere is just one example to show you or anyone that the poetry of life is everywhere. It's all day long. In other words, there is this place called the poetosphere where you can taste into it.
Yeah.
But by tasting into it, you realize, oh, well, that's in my day. That's around me in my home. I have these senses in myself. I just never realized that they were poetic in that larger way. Or just looking at a landscape and really seeing the poetry of it, whether it's the shapes of the trees or right the way the wind ruffles the water. Those are all poetic in their way, because they're these beautiful expressions of source energy to me. Talk about that a little bit more. Like this distillation, because I think of poetry itself, right, the actual written or spoken poetry is and sculpture and painting, all these forms as incredibly distilled poetics of life. In something, in an animal, in a landscape, in a painting, in a sculpture, in a poem, et cetera, et cetera. And so you take it in like this super concentrated form, but it's all there. You don't need to read the whole novel, but that's what I think of is more about what poetic things are, poetic experiences are. They're immense, but they're, you get them in one like this, you know?
Yeah. And it just reminds me like of just, I feel like it just takes you to just living in the present moment, because that's something that, you know, is talked about a lot. Like you need to live in the present moment, live in the present moment, but people don't always know how. Like they're like, okay, I want to live in the present moment, but how do I do that? And I think with what you're talking about, you know, going out there and looking at your everyday life and seeing the poetry in that just does bring you into that. It's like you can't think of anything else. If you really hone in, if you're looking at a beautiful landscape, you really hone in with what's going on, it just, you know, brings you in the moment.
It does. But you, and here's another thing that it is, I would call it, we talk so much about mindfulness in the world, but it's a mindless experience in the sense that it's not really cerebral. It's a whole body, whole being experience of, say, that landscape. Mark Nepo, I don't know if you know of him, a writer, poet, incredible writer, incredible, his metaphors, his poetic metaphors for our lives. But he had has a quote of others that is always with me, and it almost daily, wherever I do not bring my entire self, I am not there.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So because right, we kind of live fractionally all the time, a lot of us. Kind of partly there, mind is somewhere, we're kind of sitting there, but something else is happening, and we're split in different places. But for the poet, at least I think the kind of poet I am, also, which was a poet of the open, I often call myself a plein air poet, like Monet would go out with his easel and he'd be in the field or wherever, and he'd be outside creating. And an impressionist, of course, it was all immediate. Everything was fairly immediate. Wasn't going back and working it over and over and over, like watercolor. Very, very, there it is. And so when you can bring all of your beingness to someone or something, landscape, have you, the experience is so rich and real and big and beautiful. It's not always easeful, right? Because it could be something that stirs you in a challenging way, but why are we here otherwise? What's the point? Why wouldn't we want to be engaged that way?
That really resonated so deeply with me. And so when you talk about, you know, when things are challenging, what is the gift in being fully present in those times? Because we always think about being fully present when we're enjoying something or, you know, when we're with somebody that we love. But what is the gift of being present in, like, when life is not that great, doesn't feel that great?
I've come to see and experience that almost all the pain in life and discomfort, we have to be okay with being uncomfortable at times. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's like being hungry. Is it bad? No, it's a feeling state, right? That we're hungry or we're uncomfortable. Yeah. Is that all the pain comes from resisting what is actually happening. I don't want it to happen. You know, you wish for something else, but this is what it is right now. So how do we move through what is, whether it's beautiful or difficult, the ability to say, okay, I'm on a soul journey. Whatever is happening because my soul needs to go through this experience, however painful it might be, because I don't know what that means. Maybe later I understand why I had to go through that and that it actually made sense for my journey, for the path that I'm on. So I just yield. I just trust. I say, okay, I don't know why. Sometimes I do know why. And I maybe don't love it, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go through it. I'm not going to run away from it. I'm going to, embrace it. I'm going to go the other direction. I'm going to, like when you're with a partner and you're having a hard time with each other, the idea for me is not to turn away, is to turn closer in. Yeah. You know, there's resistance there to from the other sometimes, but you know what? I think that's, to me, the way to go. And thinking
of, like, Yeah, that's so interesting that you say that. And just when you think of the work, when you think of your work and, you know, your creativity and everything that you've obviously done in the world, what was it that I'm sure there's been so many things that fueled it and inspired you to do those things, but was it being able to be this way, like sitting through the joyfully, sitting through the difficult times? Like, what would you say is that kind of elixir for you personally that really fuels your creativity, that really gets you going? Even though creativity is a journey in itself, but just what comes to you when I ask that question?
Joy.
Okay, interesting. So
I know that I basically popped out of the womb in this wildly joyful state because I've seen very early pictures and I said, that's amazing. And then if you ask me what fuels so much of is two things, probably a wild joyfulness and a continuously seeking joy. So my mantra, go where the joy is and go there all the time, every day.
Okay.
Some joyful place, some great feeling place, in a real way, in a real way. And then I think the other part of that is insatiably curious. So these two things are enormous drivers of my being, of my delight with the world and discovery of things. You know, I'm curious about just about everything. I love asking questions and wondering about things. And that's just led me to so many incredible experiences and people and projects and, you know, engagements and things that I've done in the past, things I'm doing now. I'd say those two things are the twin engines of my creativity and my satisfaction and my just exuberance for life.
And is it really possible to live like that? I hope that you are loving this episode, and I wanted to just take a quick minute to give you something super exciting, a free ticket to the 25-day Finally Feel Free virtual retreat. This is not an ordinary event. It is a sacred global sanctuary designed to support, elevate, and celebrate your unique journey. Me and over 50 visionary speakers will be diving into the realms of quantum health and wellness, unlocking wealth through your natural gifts, exploring a new form of divine love, and elevating to higher states of consciousness to create and experience your soul destiny. Don't miss this beautiful opportunity. Sign up. The link is in the show notes below. And now back to our episode.
It is. And I'll say one more thing. If one person can do it, that means it's doable.
That's why I asked. Because I know there's people out there, because we're told so many different things about how the human life experience should be. Like, it's not always going to, there's things out, you know, there's sayings like, it's not always a bed of roses. You know, you can't always be happy. Like, you have to take the good with the bad. Like, this is programmed into us. So that's why I have to ask, like, is it possible? Yeah.
Well, those are all, okay. So Aishwarya, those are all stories that, right? You're programming, good word. There are all these narratives that people have. This is no judgment. It's just that different beliefs, big narratives, I can't do this, or only poets can't do that, or whatever the story is, I don't have creativity. Those are stories that people are telling themselves. What if they're not true? What if you started telling yourself a completely different story? Just experiment with that and see what happens. Tell the opposite story. Tell it for a week. I'll bet that person will find, they will start energetically, things will start changing. They will. So I always would say in my life, as I would go and I'd say, if one person could do X, whatever that thing was, I could do that if I really chose to, because one person could, I could do it. And so other poets that I admire out in the world, past and present, some of them quite well known. I said, if they have a voice and they're able to have their voice out in the world, my voice is as significant and I can have a voice out in the world. So that was it. I just started bringing my voice out to the world.
And I love the fact that you say choose, because it's not, because that is what it is. You have to choose actually to do things and to be a certain way. It's not always like, take, you know, there's just, it's because I'm in this field, I hear so many different perspectives, and I definitely feel like that you basically have to just choose who you want to be, like what you want to be, how you want to show up. It's not always about what you attract or your destiny or whatever, like those things are kind of, you know, factors, but choosing, I think, is a big thing to just
it is and I let that's per, as a perfect segue to what I wanted to talk about with you around creativity.
Yeah.
Because I would say it's choosing to allow something. We're going to talk about that now. It's choosing to allow something.
Mm.
Okay. As opposed to saying I'm going to be a certain way. So let's talk about this. The place I think this starts from is, what is the source place of your creativity? However it's expressed. Where does it flow from? Where does it spring from, or river from, or fountain, or waterfall from? Because for me, there's a deep source energy that flows through everything and everyone. And when I'm connected to that, when I yield to it, when I choose to yield to it, which I do pretty much all the time, it doesn't come from me. Comes through me. Big difference. And I was telling a story actually to Chloe the other day. Chloe, good job. About when I'd done some voice work way back in time, I was seeking to find my natural voice. So I didn't feel mine was natural. And there was some center, sort of not avant-garde, but newer age center. And there was a program. It said, finding your natural voice. I said, out of curiosity, wonder what mine might be. Mm-hmm. Went to this course, started to nibble into something interesting that maybe it was different. Started working one-on-one ultimately with this teacher for a while, and realized that I had an entirely other source, a soul voice, let's put it that way, that was not coming through me, was not being heard, let's put it that way. And so I found my natural voice, my more natural expression. So that's what I was saying. It was like more coming through me, because the teacher said, we don't sing here. We don't make song. We allow your voice and your song to come up, plume out of you. Totally different idea, because yes, we can make it and that's nice, but it's not coming from that deep source place. And you know, when you've heard such singers or musicians, it's transporting, right? The other ones are nice, but what about the ones that transport you? That's because that is coming through them. That's what's happening. At least in my way of meeting the world, that's what's happening. So there's that. And then I wanted to also say it comes in service to something beyond me, beyond any recognition or gain, reward. It adds to a pool of beauty and possibility that others can swim in, can drink in, can be inspired by. And so if it's just about me and my art, and that's okay. But I think if it's in service to something larger than yourself and beyond, you know, needing something out of it other than the joy of creating it and then sharing it, but then it doing its good work in the world, is something I'm encouraging all artists all the time, and anyone to do. You don't have to be an artist per se. So it's ultimately, it's not about me. You know, I think of myself as a vessel.
Like channeling.
In a way you could say that, not the channeling, I think, where I'm getting a transmission. No. Because it's coming, it's not coming in this way. It's coming from you're connected to the source. I'm connected to the source. Some of us are obstructed from our connection to the source, but we want to open it up, right? I mean, that's really the point of all of this.
To get to that. I'm interested to actually, because Yeah, if it's not coming from, because obviously people are listening on the podcast, if it's not coming from above, like channeling and transmission, yes, where does it come from? Because I want to know, you know, how people can set that up for themselves, and where does it come from? Is it somewhere different for each person? Like, where does it come from for you?
I feel certain there's like, if we thought of like a subterranean river,
okay,
that feeds everything.
Yeah,
and you're part of the feed. You're connected to that river. I'm connected to that river. Now, how it comes out of you, how it fountains out of you, is different than how it fountains out of me.
Mm.
Right? Mm. Or if you thought of it as light, think of it as light. So if it's this light source that's coming, that's everything is made of, because everything is made of frequency and vibration, and I feel light and I feel spirit. Okay, that it's coming through you, but because you're a prism that's sort of built one way, it refracts out of you this way, and it refracts out of Colin this way. It's the same light source. It's just it being expressed differently in your soul work, in that person's sculpture, right? In this person's symphonic creation.
Mm.
Right. So it's tapping into, it's getting into that source. It's like drip deep. If you get that well, like you're the well, you've got to go down deep enough to hit that subterranean river, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's about deepening. To me, it's about deepening your life until you come to the water.
Mm.
And then, of course, starts gushing, right?
Mm.
And then, oh my goodness, you know, who wouldn't love to have that happening? Mm. That's the wellspring. I actually just did a program the other day on this, on the Finding Your Wellsprings on the Floating Poetry broadcast just last week, show 188. And it was all about this very topic of of finding it, seeking it, finding it, knowing how to find it, thing that we're talking about.
Mm. And what does it feel like when it comes, expresses itself through you? Do you just feel like you are just out of the way, or do you feel like you're co-creating?
I feel like I'm co-creating. I'm using that, right? I'm working with that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
So, you know, in my book of life, this sourcefulness
comes
through you, right? It comes through each of us in a one-of-a-kind way. And what I wanted to add to that was organism. So you have an organism. It's this complete thing. And it's organic, obviously. But that each of us is an ism.
Mm.
So Aswarya-ism and Colin-ism. Mm. And our life journey is to find and allow the fullest and freest expression of that ism, the you-ism and the me-ism.
Mm.
You know, so that this holistic idea, we're going back, we're talking about fractionated sort of living, like you're not really completely engaged in or with, et cetera. So this going back to living poetically, when it's entering the flow of life's vitalizing, because vitalizing is big, the more vital and vivid and vibrant you are, that's transporting, nourishing, and it's transporting. And so it's about embodying all of this energy, right? And embodying all of our beingness and connecting to these distilled experiences, right? The beautiful sun, the ocean, someone's conversation, someone's beautiful, loving. You know, these are all marvelous, to me, poetic expressions. So however it's conveyed, it could be a poem, a song, a painting, a dance, a seascape that carries all that energy. Mm-hmm. So I want to connect with that, and I want to clasp that to my being. You know, that to me is doable. Everybody can do this.
Mm.
Everyone can do it. It's not as far away as anybody thinks. It really isn't. It's always right there. It's right there. And it sometimes it's just, you look at it just a little differently and you start to see it. And you listen just a little differently and you start to hear it and touch it.
Mm.
So I'm also an animist. I don't know if you know about animism, but it's an ancient philosophy, and they believed everything had a spirit. Everything. The boulder, the cloud.
I believe that.
Certainly the animal, but it had an individual spirit. So that boulder had a particular spirit, Not just all, not all boulders that had the same. Mm-hmm. They all
different. Mm-hmm.
And I know this is so because I've actually experienced the spirit in things.
Yeah.
Times.
Yeah. Everything is every. You can if you, you can also just like tap into the personality of just each thing.
That's yeah. correct. That's correct.
Yeah, it's just so, it's, I think all this is like the real way. Like if you think about, you know, children or when we were younger, this is actually how we all were. Like everything had a personality. Everything we've spoken about is naturally, I think, what humanity is. And it's just going back to that. It's not adding anything or learning how to do anything. Or it's just
actually
deprogramming.
Remembering, yeah. bringing our all the parts of ourselves back into this from this memory, from this place that we all were in. This, which I don't, it's not my expression, but this wonderful artist of mine has talked about the innocent I. And I'd say, like, so when we can bring our sort of innocent self, our innocent I, and innocent heart to the day, to the moment. Takes us back to that childlike innocence and openness and connection with everything and sensing the spirit in everything, the personality in everything, you know, the rock, the tree. I mean, that's, you're right. We all start there. And then we get away from it. We get removed from it for different reasons. Social, cultural things take us away sometimes. Not all cultures. Some are very good at keeping everyone rooted to those places, beautiful places, right? Some indigenous cultures especially. So the good news is we can go there, and I think we can also go there not just by deepening, but by allowing ourselves to be intimately engaged, right? Not casually engaged. You know, so much happens on the surface, whereas all the deeper the meaning is under the surface. So we have to you know, immerse ourselves more in the moments to really get a bigger taste of what that is by immersing. Bigger feeling is right below the surface. So when someone is immersed or dipping into the poetosphere, for example, you know, the oasis that I've put together and I'm guiding it's really to, you use the word illuminator about me, which is true, because I was thinking about all this, how do I best describe myself in one word, is to illuminate how the poetics are everywhere, inside and around everyone every day, how enlivening and expanding they can be when we flow with them. That's really what that experience is about. And so you're asking me, it could be anybody who points you there and says, hey, did you look at it? What if you looked at it this way? Like when I'm on walkabouts, let's say I do events and things, and I'll take people out into a landscape with me. And I'll help them just see with a poet's eye, let's say, or a poet's eye. And I'll just walk in, they'll be looking at it, and I'll say, did you notice how the light is creating that particular shadow over there? Isn't that beautiful or interesting or so on? And, you know, things start coming more to life to them than they had just on the surface that, oh, that's a rock or that's a shadow or, you know. So there's all of that. There's all of that. But I was also musing toward our conversation on various artistic, other creative expressions and or outpourings, as I think of them. It's like we're pouring out that source energy through us. Is that about each creator's ism we were talking about, right? The ism, the colonism. My goal is to be the most colon I can be every day.
Yeah.
Okay, are you the most you can be?
Yeah.
And I think if we really looked in the mirror, we would know, are we being the most me that we can be? Are there other things calling to you, inspiring you, compelling you, impelling you, that you're maybe not haven't responded to? Because that's part of the ism. And so I wanted to say to your listeners, those in that mode, is that it's not limited to your prime channel of creativity. I'm a sculptor, I'm a poet, I'm a dancer, right? It infuses and suffuses everything. Mm. That artistry, maybe we could call it. So you're not just versed in one way. You may have a genius for something, right? Or a great talent for something, but I'm thinking about it more as multiversed. Mm. So like my poeticness, going back to one question you asked, infuses my written poetry, my spoken word, my imagery, but it also is the way I think. Mm. The way I imagine, even how I dress and cook and arrange my writing table.
Right? Yeah.
The poetry is sort of, it's in everything, not just the way I see things, but even what I'm doing, how I do things.
Mm.
Even gestures can be poetic.
Mm.
A gesture.
Mm.
So to the sculptor, for example, I would ask, are you living sculpturally? Are you living a lot of your life sculpturally? To the painter, are you living in a painterly way beyond the canvas?
Mm.
The dancer, are you moving more dancefully through your life, through your day?
Mm.
Why wouldn't you be letting that flow everywhere? Because that's if that's part of your nature and your unique expression, why not just let it all be everywhere every day? Wouldn't that be fabulous if that you just opened yourself to that as that kind of art, whatever the artistry is?
Hmm. I'm just trying to find the why people don't do that. I don't know if it's like a social thing or they're what, like, I don't know, because surely you would just naturally do that. But it's interesting where people don't.
Exactly. So helping those people come back to their natural way of being.
Mm.
I feel it's by just showing them that it's there and showing how that is actually not the artificial version.
Mm.
That is the way you probably, if you really said, I'd like to live that way. If someone showed it to you, that you were caught up in whatever else that took you, disembodied you, disengaged you, disconnected you, but they showed you that here's all this connection, engagement, and embodiment, why would you not choose that? How could you not choose that?
I feel like it's the most alive part of you, because if the way I can describe it is when I feel alive, when I feel switched on, when I feel engaged, that is who I am. That's when I know I'm being me. When I'm just the other end, like kind of past, like, I don't know how to describe it, because I want to make that distinction for people. When you're just like on autopilot and you feel like there's something more you should be doing, but you don't know what, and everything feels a bit flat, that's when you're not being you. That's when you're just doing the routine, or you've
that's
disconnected.
Right. That's right. Autopilot. Very good. Very well said. Some people don't even realize they're on autopilot, but they are. And so maybe giving them some big doses of wonder, for example.
Yeah.
And some really beautiful life questions that take them to a place of musing on themselves and their life and what they want. So it's really that stop into awareness, stop and come into some awareness. And so even if it's small, it's a start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe it's not a complete sea change tomorrow, but maybe it's a beginning of something that starts percolating in you, and you start wondering about things, and you start maybe noticing other things, and you think about where your life is, where you want it to be. Maybe it's off the rails at the moment. How do I get it back on the rails of aliveness and vibrance? To ask yourself, what is the origin of the source energy that's coming through you? Whether you're an artist per se, right, or not, that's not it. It's about is there a life force in me? We know that there is, but I'm saying that person says, is there an, have I been really tuning into that? And what does that feel like? How do I get into more of that? What is it? And am I yielding to it? Am I opening to it? And am I yielding to it? Because you were talking earlier about choosing to be, so that's willful to me. It's what does it want to be? How does it want to come through you? Mm. And yielding to that as opposed to imposing, oh, it has to be this way. Suggesting that we let it tell us what way it wants to have with us. And I'll give you an example. There's an artist, an amazing artist out in Seattle. He's in his 80s now, Richard Kehl, K-E-H-L. And he's been a great friend and mentor to me and inspirer of me for a long time. And in the very early days of getting to know him, I said something about him creating a collage, which was what I thought was a collage, or you would have said probably was a collage. And he says, no, I'm not a collagist. I'm an imagist. And I said, I don't know the difference. So he says the collagist has an idea of what that thing should be, whatever that painting or not painting, you know, creation, and finds all the elements that make that. The imagist has all these elements and he or she doesn't know what it wants to be. Those things tell him or her what they want to be. And he said, that's the difference. So I'm thinking about that in terms of what we're talking about. Yeah. Is that how does it want to come through you? Maybe not the way that you thought. And it might even take you in a whole other life direction. Mm. But now we're talking about tuning into that, right? What is that and where is it moving me? Where does it want to move me today or in my life right now? Mm. So I think being prepared to allow it in, no matter where it takes you, could be a very different expression. Those are things that I think we ought to be pondering as creators, because if it comes through me this way now, but it changes dramatically here, I will listen to it. I will go in another direction. I don't see that happening right now, but I'm open to being, moved by that.
And that will just dramatically change even how you live life, because then you will actually start living. You'll have that openness to see we've spoken about creativity, but it's also about life. Like, where does life want me to go right now? Like, where can I go with it? Is there somewhere new that I can allow life to express through me, rather than me saying, actually, this is what we're doing today, you know, to-do list, God, allergic, this is we're going to do today. Even if you have stuff to do, like, what about having, you know, a few segments of the day to be like, I'm going to just be open right now. I'm just going to sit here openly. Exactly. See what comes up.
Exactly.
I'm going to act on it.
Exactly. So there was in the Poetosphere, the members, we get together. We get together in person when we can, but people are all over the world. So we get together on Zoom at least every month. Mm. And people get to know each other, share ideas, inspirations, experiences that they're having. But one of the big elements in this, in the Poetosphere itself and in these conversations, is it's all about greater possibilities, or just that there are possibilities. And one person said, how about starting our day with just what if? Yes, there's certain things maybe that fill part of the day, but what if is meaning I'm open to possibilities today. It's not, oh, I've got the dentist and then this thing and my day's kind of chopped up. Well, that's a way of looking at it. What if you said, but yet the rest of it is open to who knows what could happen today? I will open to possibilities. I will open to serendipities. I will open to synchronicities. I know we don't have a lot of time left, but we've been flowing along so beautifully.
Yeah.
But I would love to, if I may, through the Poetosphere, and this is anyone who goes there can both read this or listen to this or download it or share it out to the world or translate it into another language. But, you know, part of what's happening is we possibilitarians in the Poetosphere, is that we feel there's greater possibilities both for ourselves as individuals, but also for our society, for humanity. Mm-hmm. And so there's a manifesto there that I'd love to share, because it's not just about us as individuals. It's about a collective possibility too, for all of us in the world. Mm-hmm. This is called The Great Regenesis. You know, the Poetosphere is, I call it an oasis of regenesis, and it's meant on those individual and collective level. So this is a call to possibility.
Okay.
Amid the world's troubles, its darkness and inhumanities, amid the fears, heartaches, and tears in the fabric of the lives of families, friends, fellow citizens, amid our own growing tuggings and stirrings, awaits a great regenesis that begins inside us. When we drink from the deeper vessel of ourselves, freely and daily, that opens us to our possibilities of being, many we didn't even know or believe were possible. That rekindles the heart of our humanness, quenches our thirst for wholeness, returns us to our natural aliveness, native vibrance, shows us everything else living here on Earth, our planet home, springs from the same source, is entirely alive, incredibly vibrant, invites us to embrace and embody more of the essential seeings, feelings, callings, and deepenings each day offers us. And as these experiences infuse our beings, ripple and ray out from us, begin to inspire, encourage, awaken others to their possibilities, then a great regenesis emerges, unfolds for our seeking selves, longing spirits, for our undernourished humanity, overwhelmed society, becomes a ferment, becomes a movement that removes the darkness, dead weights, and yokes upon our peace of mind, hearts, and spirits, restores our places of hope and joy, solace and rest, beauty and wonder, revives the wild life force we arrived at birth with, and recalls us to live and thrive together in the elemental. A great regenesis that starts simply, beautifully with us, where every moment, felt experience of opening, yours, mine, one person at a time, each in our own way, creates a remarkable, unstoppable momentum, creates a monumental tide of transformation, lifting everyone willing to a deeper place of being, knowing, of remembering, giving rise to a healthy body, a spirited society, a mighty community of possibility, possibilitarians. It begins here inside us.
Wow, I love that. That was just so profound. And it was just the perfect ending to the conversation and how we've been flowing today.
Yeah. I'm delighted. I will send that to you as well.
Please do. And we will put it in the notes down below so people can read along. And, of course, your website we'll put down as well, www.thepoetosphere.com, where you can actually, find out more about just being part of Colin's community.
All are welcome. And for your listeners, if you would like that, I will make that available very specially to them as a special subscription. I can send you that information. You can offer that to your listeners.
Yes, we will put that down below. And what a perfect, I think just it, your poem at the end called The Great Regenesis. Yeah. Your manifesto. It was so aligned with everything we've spoken about. I feel like I need to listen to that again. But Colin, thank you so much for your time, for your discussion about your creative process and how everybody can, tap into theirs, about living present in the moment, connecting to that deeper source and letting it flow through you. All this is just fascinating to remember and to know and just the blueprint to really start changing the way we just approach life and things that are waiting to flow through us.
Everything is possible.
Yes.
Everything is possible. Thank you so much. It was delightful, and to be continued. I thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here with us. Your presence here is a gift. To ensure you're always in tune with our latest explorations, subscribe to the Soul Goddess podcast so you're always notified of a new episode. Before we part ways for now, an exciting reminder to claim your free gifts waiting for you in the show notes. These are available for a limited time, and they're crafted with love and intention just for you. Be wild, be free, and forever remain true to your authentic soul self. Until we meet again, sending you so much love and light.